Friday, and you are listening to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. I'm Katie Wyatt, here as I am every Friday morning with my co-host, Father Adam. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
How are you?
Marvelous.
Good. We are so happy to be spending this hour with our listeners this morning. We have so much great stuff coming up, but first,
let's pray with our listeners. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you this day and we give you this time together. We ask, O Lord, that you bless us, bless this day, bless all of our work, all of our recreation, all of our conversations. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. So, how was your week, Father Adam? Fill us in. What have you been doing?
It was pretty good. Yeah, it was wonderful. I had a great you might call it part of my job, part of my work as the coordinator for evangelization. I get to have these great conversations with people and what they're doing in the world. And I had a great time with Deacon Carl up at St. John Neumann in Sunbury and listening to what he's up to. So, you know, and he, I guess the Lord spoke to him in prayer, you know, kind of moved him to really reach out to those Catholics who aren't going to Mass, who have kind of fallen away in the practice of the faith. And so he started this new ministry called the Mission of the 72, where a couple other people with him, they reach out, kind of intentionally reach out to the people in the parish that maybe aren't going to Mass regularly or that the parish hasn't heard from in a while. And it looks like it's bearing great fruit. And in fact, I think today he's meeting with several other leaders from other parishes about kind of teaching them his method. And
wow, that's
like
appropriate
that.
For today, given
yeah,
the gospel.
It is,
yeah,
isn't it?
Which we'll talk about here
but,
in a little bit.
I think what really moved me was, you know, the Lord is speaking to so many different people. Of course, we know that, you know, in our life of prayer, but how the Lord puts things on people's hearts, kind of missions that mm-hmm. he has for them. And I think maybe we fail to realize that the Lord really has something unique for each one of us to do.
We should have that as a theme one of these Friday mornings. Like, when the Lord puts something on your heart, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
How do you develop that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to write that on our list because that's significant. It applies to every single one of us.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think to have that courage, what I was also impressed with, not only was his response, you know, this, which was a very beautiful response, but that the pastors that he had, Father Dave Sizemore and Father Paul Noble, have always been very kind of cooperative with mm-hmm. him and kind of giving him this sort of freedom to follow what the Lord is proposing to him. And I think that's another beautiful thing is we're not only are we afraid maybe to listen to what the Lord might be asking us to do, but then maybe afraid to talk to our pastors about, hey, I really feel like this is something I could do or the Lord wants me to do.
And then that's a challenge for the pastor to kind of sift through and figure out what's best for the parish. And
yeah, but you know, I think my general approach was as a pastor was, you know, if something has really been planted on someone's heart, we'll give them, you know, the freedom to do it. And we'll
right.
see what happens.
Right.
And if nothing comes of it, nothing comes of it.
Right.
But if something marvelous comes, then you know.
Well, that's a very pastoral approach.
Well,
yeah, I had a pretty uneventful week, but I had a couple of very exciting hours last Saturday. So I went to the pet store and there were some doggy toys for half price and I was really excited. So I bought two dog toys because I have two dogs, half price, right? These were a deal. So I bring them home and I give one to my so I have two dogs. Felix, he's a rescue dog. He literally spent the first 2 years of his life on the streets of Guatemala. That's a whole different story for a different show. But he's a scrappy little thing. He's got a little bit of attitude. So I give him his toy and he's like, whatever, what else you got? I seem better than this. You know, but then I gave the other toy to my spoiled, pampered, purebred, 85-pound Rhodesian Ridgeback, Luna. She demolished it in seconds. She had the stuffing pulled out. She had the squeaker torn out. So I picked those up really quickly because I didn't want her to swallow those. That's very dangerous, right? But then I gave her the casing to play with. I thought, well, maybe she wants to shred this too. It was a little rocket ship toy, a little cloth rocket ship, roughly the size of a men's ankle sock, right? It was not a small toy. Swallowed it. Swallowed it whole. So I panicked. I called the doggy emergency room. My husband later asked me, well, why didn't you just call our vet? But this was an emergency, right? And the doggy emergency, they had the word emergency in their name. Yeah. So that's who I called. And so they said, okay, you need to bring her in immediately because right now it's in her stomach and we can get it out easily, but soon it will move into her intestine, and then that's a more dangerous, you know. So I get her in the car, and she's fine, by the way. She's like, that was awesome.
Yeah. You know?
So I get her in the car. We live just south of Worthington. My intention is to fly north on High Street to get to doggy emergency room. Mm-hmm. We get in the car. Nobody else in Worthington is in any sort of hurry on Saturday, right? Hey, you know what? Let's not even drive the speed limit today. Let's go under the speed limit. So I am in a panic. I'm freaking out. I want to lay on my horn. I want to pass on the ride. I want to yell out the window. But all I could think about was the St. Gabriel bumper magnet on the back of my car.
Hey.
And so I had to turn my rage into prayer. I was wishing I had ripped that thing off the back of my car before I got in the car. But I didn't, right? So we are trying to fly up High Street, right? We are looking at a difference between a $200 procedure and a $2,000 procedure, right? But so I pray all the way there, and we get there, and they are able to induce vomiting. The toy comes up. Of course, I brought it home because I wanted to show it to my family. and she's fine. It was $240. I told her she has to get a job to help pay for it. But the toy was half price. So that was awesome. But anyway, so my St. Gabriel bumper magnet saved me from committing venial sin.
We have one convert. You know,
it's just one more example of how St. Gabriel Radio aids us in our day-to-day life. So, yes, and my dog is fine. And the other toy is also in the trash. So what a huge savings. It was amazing. Half price toys. So that was my Saturday. There have been some really exciting things going on in our diocese this past week. I wanted to talk about a couple of them. Did you know, Father Adam, that the Bishop Watterson boys and girls cross-country teams both won the CCL championships?
Yes, I heard that. Yeah.
I read it in the Catholic Times. P.S. listeners, if you don't get the Catholic Times, you should. It's $17 a month. I mean, a year. $17 a year. And you just go to your parish and subscribe. They can help you subscribe. It's super easy.
Did I ever tell you I ran cross country in high school?
You did not.
Yeah,
tell me
that.
Did you ever win a CCL championship?
No, because I went to public school. So. Oh.
Well, public schools can win CCL.
Running for Waverly, of course, I was always on the JV, the reserve squad, but we did win the SOC almost every year, and we made it, even, I think, 2 years they made it to the state when I was there.
Do you still run?
Not as often. I mean, I might do a 5K once a week, maybe, but... I would say...
Father Adam's standards are so different from
I mostly do CrossFit now, so...
Do you run in your cassock? Do you CrossFit in your cassock?
No, I do not.
Okay.
No, that's impractical. Highly impractical.
Anyway, this is, according to the Times, the first school in 25 years to win both the boys and girls titles in the same year.
Yeah, it's my understanding that St. Charles has kind of dominated boys cross country in that conference.
Well, they haven't dominated girls cross country,
well.
So that's Watterson. One more thing I want to talk about. The Columbus Catholic Young Adult Conference was Saturday at St. John Newman. My daughter Molly, she's a young adult. She said she thinks they're going to outgrow St. John Newman in the next couple of years. 250 young adults, 20-somethings
awesome.
Attended.
Yeah.
Yes. She said it was amazing. Mary Bielski and Father Nathan Cromley were the speakers. Guess who else was there?
Bishop Brennan. I bet he was there.
Yeah. So that was Kate Kriegel and her team. Kate's the director of youth and young adult ministry at St. John Newman. She's amazing. She's doing amazing things for the kingdom. So.
Well, she was our angel during the
during
St. Gabriel Spirit Drive
hour. Yeah. So our theme this morning is persistent prayer.
Yeah.
Based on the gospel for coming up on Sunday.
We'll we've got some wonderful guests, too.
We do.
Father Dave Sizemore from St. Francis de Sales, DeSales in Newark.
You always say DeSales.
And then Sister John Paul from St. Michael's will be joining us, too.
So we'll get to our guests. But first, before you get too far into your commute, listeners, we want to bring you the service that we're becoming pretty well known for. We're the only people in the world with a priest who does traffic and weather.
That we know of. Well, today our traffic and weather is brought to us by your guardian angel. Did you know, Katie, that the guardian angels are even mentioned in Scripture?
I did know that because I had to defend that one time.
Matthew 18:10, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. The temperature currently is 37 degrees. We are going to have a bright, sunny fall day today, a high of 60 degrees. There are several accidents throughout the Columbus area, including on US 33 at Hayden Run Road, US 40 Main Street at Rose Hill Road, Shady Lane Road at Livingston, James at Allegheny, and US 23 Summit at 4th Avenue.
Wow.
And then, of course, there are lots of delays because of the Columbus Marathon, which will be on Sunday.
What is going on out there today? We're not paying attention.
Wild day, yeah. Remember to drive safely, and if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your bumper, represent us well.
Anything cool happened this day in Catholic history, Father
Adam? Yeah, a couple great things. In 1914, the Schoenstatt movement was founded in Germany. The Schoenstatt movement is one of these secular institutes, these sort of lay movements, especially focuses on Our Lady, on the Blessed Virgin Mary. And, you know, there are many of these different lay movements that are really active in evangelization, both in Europe and here in America. So the Schoenstatt movement. And then in 1417, Pope Gregory the 12th died. Pope Gregory the 12th was the last pope to resign before Benedict the 16th.
You know, I did a little research on that because I didn't know why he resigned. And apparently, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, I got this from Wikipedia, our news source.
Yeah.
But he resigned to resolve the Western Schism, right?
He did, yes.
Yeah, so it was like pressing reset. He resigned, and they got rid of the anti-pope, but then the papal seat sat vacant for 2 years before Pope Martin V was elected. Okay, a couple of Bishop Brennan sightings from this past week. He was, as we said, at the Young Adult Conference. He was at the David Haas concert Friday at Church of the Resurrection. We know he was at the school mass at OLP on Wednesday and at the Mass of Inclusion at St. Catherine's on Sunday, at Family Rosary Day, of course. He was at the Brian Muha Foundation fundraiser last night. And I hear he was at the Italian festival, too. I don't know if he went on over to Oktoberfest after that. But so you can keep your Bishop Brennan sightings coming. It's so fun to know where all our bishop is. But now we are going to move to our first guest, who is calling us from Newark, Ohio, St. Francis de Sales Parish, Father Dave Sizemore. You there, Father Dave? Hello, Father Dave Sizemore. All right, hang on just a second. I think he's there, but we have to find him. So, Father Dave is the pastor at St. Francis de Sales in Newark. He's been there for how long, Father Adam? Do you know?
It's a good question. I think about 3 years would be my guess
Maybe
right now.
Maybe two or three. We'll ask him as soon as we have him on the line. doing great things. He came from St. John Newman. You
yes.
alluded to that before, talking about Deacon Carl and the pastors he's had who have been open to letting the Spirit move through their parishes. So, any luck? I bet he can hear us, but we can't hear him, and it's kind of torturous for him to not be heard on the radio. Nothing? I think we cut him off.
Now we do have our second guest with us. How about we
say switch? Hello? Let's say hello to
hello.
Sister John Paul. She has just arrived in the studio, and we'll just do a brief hello with her until we get Father Dave on the line. Good morning, Sister John Paul.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Sister John Paul is the principal at St. Michael in Worthington. You know, if you went to a Catholic school and you have terrors and visions of your experience with your sister principal, you can let go of that, right? It's a new era in Catholic education with the sisters. So, Sister,
she's visibly smiling.
Yeah.
So that's
she is.
Please come by and meet our sisters and meet our wonderful students.
Wonderful.
We would love to. All right, let's see if we have Father Sizemore yet. Hello?
If you'd like to make a call, hang up and call again.
I think he hung up on us.
No, I'm hanging up on him.
Okay, we're hanging up on
let's
him.
Go,
let's flip.
Let's just go with Sister.
All
yeah,
right.
Sister.
Father Dave, hang on. Father Dave, we're going to try you again, so don't go too far away. But we'll first talk to Sister John Paul. So thank you. You came into the station this morning.
Yes, yes.
Are your students just running wild without you there?
Not at all.
Oh,
They're wonderful. They're in great hands.
Oh, great. Okay.
Well, great. Well, Sister, today our theme is on perseverance and prayer especially. So one of the things, you know, as an educator and everything like that, but as a religious first and foremost, prayer is essential to your life. Could you maybe let us into a little bit of glimpse into your life of prayer?
Absolutely. I am a Dominican, Dominican Sister of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. So in our way of life, we have both a contemplative and apostolic life. So we start our day with Eucharistic Holy Hour, and that will include a period of meditation and the Divine Office, followed by Holy Mass. And then we'll head out into our apostolate. For us, it's our school. We'll come back together at the end of the day, and we'll have Divine Office again, Vespers, Rosary together. And then in the evening, we'll have night prayer compline with a beautiful Dominican practice of ending our day singing to Our Lady, the Salve Regina. And so interspersed with that, we also have some periods of spiritual reading. And as much as we can, St. Paul's invocation to pray always, you know. So that would be an outline of our prayer as religious, and then our personal prayer and our personal prayer journey accompanies that each day.
Awesome. You know, I'm always fascinated by definitions of prayer, you know.
Yes.
So St. John Vianney once asked this man, you know, in adoration, what he does. And, you know, the guy defined really prayer as, well, I look on the Lord and the Lord looks
yes.
upon me. Or there was another definition I ran into, one of the Eastern, or St. John Damascene said that, you know, in prayer, I elevate myself to the Lord, or allow
mm-hmm.
myself to be elevated to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What's a nice little definition of prayer that you use?
Well, your beginning with St. John Vianney reminds me very much of John Paul II's emphasis on an exchange of glances that comes out in a lot of his writings. And that would especially take place during Eucharistic prayer. I think above all, the prayer is really a relationship. Some people define it as a conversation with God. It's a God's initiative first, his grace. You know, we can't even begin prayer without God's grace first hitting us and awakening our souls and awakening our hearts to him. And so this understanding of it's really of relationship. And the Catechism will talk about prayer as the life of a new heart. And I love that, the life of a new heart. So when we allow the Lord to give us new hearts and experience His freedom, prayer becomes our life.
Excellent. Now, of course, as a religious, and you know, and certainly as a priest too, there's an expectation that we pray more, you know, that you know, that as we are more rooted in the Lord, in some sense, that we also make more time for it. But what would be your recommendations or suggestions for a lay person, say, you know, a married person or a single person busy and active in the world?
That's a wonderful question and a wonderful opportunity to speak to our listeners. First, I would say there is an impression, I acknowledge that, that religious or priests pray more in terms of quantity, or isn't it wonderful you have that time? And as a religious, I know, right?
Time.
You know, as a religious, I can say there's nothing more wonderful than the gift of having Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament in our convent. You know, we wake up to Jesus and we say goodnight to Jesus. But for any person, because we're all called, we all have a universal call to holiness. So my vocation happens to be as a woman religious. Father, yours is as a priest. But all people have their own vocation, and what we're called to in prayer is actually equally the same. I would say first, quality, not quantity. You know, when we have that moment, you know, I think of our moms that are just would love to have 5 minutes with a cup of coffee and a scripture verse. And that's just, you know, maybe a rare moment in a week for them. The quality would just be simply the opportunity to put our heart in relationship with the Lord, Jesus.
Now, here's,
you know, this, Jesus.
Here's a slight little curveball question. Because you're an educator and, you know, you work with children, one of the questions that I get quite often is, Father, how do I teach my children how to pray? Or how do I foster a spirit of prayer in my house? What would be your recommendation to parents who are the primary educators, of course, of their children in prayer?
Yes, and that's a beautiful question. And there's so many examples we could give, not to dodge your early question about what would a lay person do. So there's so much to talk about here in terms of how would we teach prayer. First, I would say as I was praying and thinking about this fantastic topic for today, I was reminded that prayer or prayerfulness is actually a virtue. And sometimes we forget that. So the basis of that in terms of what we would educate our children in would be understanding that at the end of the day, prayerfulness actually comes from the virtue of religion, which falls under the virtue of justice. And so you're understanding that we're giving the Lord His due. God created us, and so He's desperately waiting to hear from us, His creatures. You know, He didn't have to do that. Yeah. He didn't have to create us. So teaching to children and bearing in mind that we're always in relationship to the Lord, to the one who created us, and to begin a mindset of who we are as children of a loving Father, a Father who's eagerly, desperately waiting at any moment to hear from us.
Mm-hmm.
And so just that mindset I would begin with.
Yeah.
I have a follow-up question about that, because a lot of people, I've heard the question a number of times, why does God need to hear from, you know, God doesn't need anything from us.
Yes.
So when we say that He's desperately waiting to hear from us, can you elaborate on that, sister? Why does God need that from us?
Well, I would say He needs nothing, right? So this is the beauty of being God, right? So it's just something, it's very hard for us to comprehend not needing anything, because, so that's another way that makes Him unique. But His way is a way of love. So if you could say of God, there is a need, it's a desire of the heart. And maybe that's a better way of saying it. Someone who loves another wants to hear from that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would say with the ways of prayer, you know, you have to first educate yourself in prayer. What is prayer? And then you kind of have to branch out and start practicing it. And then your theme, persevering in it. That is the way we build any good habits. We have to teach the little ones the words of prayers. Begin small. Begin with what you say, pray as you can, not as you can't.
What about dryness and distractions? Because sometimes I think yes. that's what maybe keeps us from persevering, or, you know, just give up because yes. I'm not getting anything out of it, or I
right,
keep thinking about other things.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. I would say this. Yeah, hopefully all of our listeners have a great sense of humor. So
every single one of them.
I think so.
Every okay, single, good. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Every Friday we kind of hope that that's
hope that
the case.
Has, okay, yeah. good. Because yeah. I might say something that requires a little sense of humor here,
good,
right?
Good.
And I might say, you know, in terms of dryness or distractions, you know, don't automatically assume you're in, you know, the dark night of the soul,
yeah.
you know, or the, you know, we'd all love to be there and think that we're like Mother Teresa for 30 years, but, you know, that's probably not the root cause of our dryness and our distractions. And I would say there are many, and if we are experiencing dryness or distractions, first of all, give thanks to the Lord, because that is usually a prompt or an invitation to actually think about why this is happening. What is the Lord wanting me to perhaps address? So some causes of dryness or distractions in prayer might be perhaps an over-attachment to either a vice or a relationship, or things that distract you before you get to prayer. Are we unplugged from our social devices? Mm. They're not evil. They can be great tools. But, you know, the practice of we think about an hour fast before we go to Mass could be fast an hour from our devices before we get to Mass to perhaps allow our brains to adapt to be less distracted in prayer. Sometimes the Lord also is drawing to our mind. We sit down and immediately there's some sort of relationship or a conversation we had that didn't go well that comes to mind. He may be actually calling us to experience and pursue healing in some of the areas of our life that are obstacles to prayer. And as always, confession. When's the last time we went to confession? Prayer requires grace. So have we blocked grace by choices, and do we just need more healing in the sacrament of reconciliation to approach prayer?
Hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful.
If I had a child at St. Michael's right now, I would feel so comforted and so happy knowing that my child is in your capable hands and the hands of the sisters.
Well, I say our school community. We have the best children because in many ways we have the best parents. They are also choosing to align their families with these goals.
Right.
So we're very blessed.
Excellent. Well, great. Well, sister, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for jumping in. It was great that you were here early
because
we needed to shift things around.
Well, I congratulate you. It's great this show is getting off the ground, and thank you for all you're doing here. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a blessed Friday and a great weekend, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
We'd love that. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
We are going to take a break, and when we come back, I don't know, I think we'll talk to Father Dave Sizemore. Let me see how that's going. Don't go away. Stay with us.
In the 1800s, Lincoln lost 8 elections before he was elected President of the United States. In 1963, Phil Knight started a shoe company. Everyone told him he would fail. By 2016, he had turned Nike into a $91 billion company. In 1985, Shaquille O'Neal was cut from his high school basketball team. He was too slow and clumsy. Coach Brown from LSU met him and told him to believe in himself, work hard, and that someday he can come play for him. He did. And then he wanted to become one of the best basketball players in history. What if all those people listened to the voices that told them they were never going to accomplish their dreams? Friend, if God planted a dream in your heart, don't listen to the people who tell you you're too young, too old, too short, too tall. Go for it, and then leave the results to Him. God's dream for you has less to do with what you accomplish and more to do with who you become along the way. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
I went to church and just sat there and listened. I really didn't absorb anything. I think I just found myself believing that I didn't need God. I just had everything under control, and church was actually a burden to me. I had this sin that I carried in my heart for a long time, and I told myself for many, many years that the Lord wouldn't forgive me for this. When Father in the confessional says, "Your sins are forgiven," there truly is a feeling of weight lifted off. I don't care if it's 2 or 3 little sins that you're carrying, there's a feeling of I can breathe deeply again. I feel pure inside, and I'm ready to come to Mass. You can have a beautiful car, a big fancy home. If you don't have Christ in your life, there's an emptiness that's there. when you come home to the church, you're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Welcome back to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. You're listening to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. We're so glad to be spending this hour with you this morning. We are hoping that Father Dave Sizemore is on the line. We're going to try this again. Are you there, Father Dave?
I am. Hello.
Oh, hey,
we found
excellent.
You. We thought you were mad at us.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. How are you this morning?
No, I was kind of feeling like, Sister John Paul was talking about prayer. I kept saying, hello, hello, hello. and it was like, God wasn't answering.
Very appropriate.
I could hear you guys, but you couldn't hear me.
Yes. So like God, he always hears us, but sometimes
That's
we don't
right.
hear the answer. So,
wait, exactly. You were God in that scenario?
Yes, I could hear you, and I kept saying hello, 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 but you guys couldn't hear me.
Okay, so you were God in this scenario is what you're saying.
Exactly.
And Father Adam and I were the poor dry.
A God-like figure.
Yeah, not confused the two.
Yeah.
Well, we are happy that you're here, and we wanted to talk to you a little bit about prayer. I think you got to hear our conversation with Sister John Paul. But first, we wanted to know if you wanted to play a little game with us.
Okay.
Okay. So Father Nick Ventura has played this game. He got 4 points. And Father Dan Dury has played this game, and he got 6 points.
Uh-oh.
And all it is I name, for 1 minute, I name categories, and you try to name 3 things in that category, in each category.
Okay.
And you do this, for example, if I say, like, breed of dog, you will name, like, Guatemalan street dog, Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So.
Got it.
You got it? So, and if you can pass, you don't have to waste any time on a category. Couple of categories will be Catholic themed, so
okay,
no pressure, but you are trying to beat Father Dan Dury, so I know that's not important to you. So okay, are we ready? Oh
yes,
just hang on. You know what I didn't set a stopwatch. All right, ready?
Sure,
go. Things that are yellow.
A school bus, a banana, and the sun.
Things with wings.
An eagle, a falcon, and a blue jay.
Spanish words.
Hola, agua, and dia.
Sacraments.
The Eucharist, and confession, and marriages, and holy orders,
okay,
and
that's
anointing
good.
Of the sick.
We know you know all 7. Late night television hosts, past or current.
Jay Leno, David Letterman, and past.
Did you say past?
Pass.
Okay.
Yeah, I passed the last one.
Okay. Brand of athletic shoe.
Adidas, Brooke, and Nike.
Okay, that is time. And you got 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh my gosh, you got 5 points.
I got 5 points.
That's great.
You got 5 points.
Wonderful
did
job.
They beat me?
Well, no, you got 5 points. So that's awesome. We're really proud of you this morning.
Yeah, I bet you are. You're going to call Father Dan Dury and let him know that he beat me.
I'm sure he will call us.
No. I think he has mass right now, so actually he doesn't ever have to know.
Yeah.
We can just keep this between us.
Between us and the listening audience, someone is going to tell that man.
Listeners, don't tell Father Dury.
Now, Father, how long have you been in NERC?
Just a little over 2 years.
Oh, okay. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's my understanding there's some new things happening there at St. Francis de Sales.
Lots of new things.
And new things coming up, I hear, too. New buildings.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in a capital campaign. It has 3 parts. We've raised money for renovation of parts of our school and our parish center.
And then we are building currently a new building across the road, knocked down an old building, putting up a new. That'll be ready in the spring. And we are currently raising money for just catching up with backup maintenance.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, Father is probably one of our most innovative pastors, innovative in the good sense, you know, always very dynamically orthodox and promoting the new evangelization. What kind of new evangelization programs are you doing over there?
Well, we started with Alpha just kind of as an on-ramp, and just in 2 years, we've had 550 of our adults go through Alpha,
awesome.
Which is awesome. Yeah, and then from there, you know, they usually want to go deeper. So we're doing Walking with Purpose for the women, and we've got had over 130 women or so in it last year, and I think about 100 or so this year. And then we just started That Man Is You. A lot of parishes are doing that, and we've got like 70 guys signed up for
great.
That. Which, wow. So we just now started, and that's great. We're doing Beloved, which is kind of a Bible study and date night for couples. We got started last year, a young adults ministry, and we kick-started again. We got a really good youth minister for it, for our youth ministry high school and also for our middle school program. And then we're doing a women's retreat and also a men's retreat.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. And Father Dave, you're sort of, so am I right about this? Your approach is you identify people who can be leaders in these different programs and you empower them and you encourage and you are involved and then you set them free and kind of move on to the next thing. Is that a right way to kind of categorize how you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's the church, right? It's a community. And so we're all in it together. We're all one family, one body. So we're all many members with different gifts, you know, St. Paul tells us. And we're using all those gifts in different ways to work towards the common mission of the head of the body, which is Christ. So yeah, first of all, that and the staff and you know, making sure that each of our staff members are in love with Jesus, love people, and then of course have the skill sets, the experiences, and the opportunities to be able to lead in the different areas that God is calling them to do. And really, just with each one of those staff members, it's all about praying and discerning for them, and the Lord has brought them along. So we have a wonderful staff, and then I think from there, they're the ones, and I along with them. But certainly most especially the Holy Spirit, and identifying other people among the folks who are sitting in our pews. So, yeah, we have a lot of people who have gone through one of these or continuing to go through one of these online experiences, on-ramp experiences, and then want more and then grow in the faith more and are in Eucharistic adoration and a variety of other opportunities to grow their faith. And then the Lord just calls them to step up, and we just happen to be blessed at the intersection of our lives to encounter them and find out what the needs are, and then they go at it. So, and then we, you know, on kind of concentric circles are able to expand the reach out into the community more and more.
Awesome. You know, I think in order to not only to hear what the Lord is asking for your parish, but also to maintain your busy schedule, prayer must be an essential foundation of your life. What's your routine as a priest, your prayer routine?
So I was listening to Sister John Paul, and I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm not a religious. I'm a very, very active parish priest. So I envy her spiritual life. Wow, it's beautiful. So I start my day in Eucharistic adoration. I usually am before him for about an hour, and I do a variety of things that the church calls me to and that are personal to my own life. You know, praying the Liturgy of the Hours is important to us as priests, but also my own personal time. I've had a lifelong devotion to Mary and praying the rosary. I like to look at the readings and not just look at them, but to pray with them. So for the last couple years, for instance, I've been reading and praying through the scriptures so that I know the Lord of the scriptures, you know, not just know him in the sense of getting ready for a homily on the weekend. But I'm not just reading the lectionary readings, the daily prescribed readings, but, you know, reading them book by book. And I love reading them with a commentary. So I just finished the book of Revelation, and I'm going back now to the book of Genesis. So I like reading and then understanding the scriptures through a really good, solid commentary. And then praying with it and trying to apply it for my life. And then thinking about how it might apply to other people's lives. And then, of course, we as religious and priests are always looking for that next book, you know, in our spiritual life. So right now I'm reading a book by a priest who I really admire, who has written a kind of a quartet of books on the spiritual life, and this one is about suffering.
Excellent. Father, mm-hmm. One question that frequently comes up, especially with this theme of persevering in prayer, is how does one persevere in prayer, especially with dryness and with distractions? What advice would you give to our listeners about that?
Yeah, kind of like Sister John Paul was talking about. I used to be so afraid of dryness and distractions, but I think along the way, through my own spiritual director, I began to learn to pay attention to what is the Lord trying to say to me in the distractions, you know? I used to always push the distractions away or feel defeated by the distractions, or thought that I wasn't working hard enough because there was dryness in my prayer, but now I try to pay attention to what is the Lord trying to say to me in dryness, for instance. I think that dryness is not a bad thing. Certainly, you know, a lot of the spiritual writers, you know, especially like the mystics, like John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila and Teresa of Lisieux, all of them would say that dryness is not a bad thing. For me, one of the things that dryness does is it reminds me to hunger for God. Mm. You know, we can really have a fantastic spiritual life and things are really going well, and or we could just have a really fantastic life and things are going well, mm-hmm. In our relationships, our jobs, and, you know, the money in the bank and so on and so forth. And we forget to hunger for the Lord, you know, and therefore we forget to hunger for heaven. And dryness is this kind of, you know, wall that we run into, mm-hmm. We want to advance in the spiritual life, but we've got to get over that wall. And sometimes that hunger is that that dryness is that hunger for wanting God more. And it gives us an energy that we didn't used to have to make the efforts to climb over those walls. Ultimately,
excellent.
We don't climb over those walls on our own.
Well, I'm so glad you and Sister John Paul both mentioned the dryness, because I think that could help our listeners, you know, if we've decided, okay, I'm done praying, nothing comes of it. It'll help us kind of reset and start over today and try again, you know, and keep that in mind. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you for being with us this morning.
Yeah,
it's been great to talk to you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
God bless you, and God bless you on the start of your new show.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll be talking to you again, I'm sure.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye. We are going to take one more break, and when we come back, we have some fun wrap-up stuff to do, so please don't go away.
Catholic Community News from St. Gabriel Radio, AM 820.
The movie Unplanned will be shown at St. Joseph Church in Plain City, 670 West Main Street, on several occasions this month. Time and dates for the screenings are 7 p.m. Saturday, October 19th, 6 p.m. Tuesday, October 22nd, and Friday, October 25th, and 2 p.m. Sunday, October 26th. On October 19th, the first in a series of talks from the cathedral pulpit will take place. The first talk will feature Dr. Ralph Martin talking on the Universal Call to Mission. The event will begin at 6:45 p.m. at the Cathedral, 212 East Broad Street, and will feature the presentation, music, and a light reception. On Tuesday, November 5th, at the Jessing Center at the Pontifical College Josephinum, 7625 North High Street, the Sarah Club Annual High School Boys Luncheon will take place with Father Ed Shekina as the speaker. St. Mary Parish in Groveport will have their 69th Annual Smorgasbord Sunday, October 20th, from 12:30 until 6 p.m. They're located at 5684 Groveport Road. For more information, visit groveportstmary.org.
This is Young Catholic Minute. Why don't women have the right to choose? Because killing people's wrong, that's why. That might sound extreme, especially when our culture likes to say things like terminate a pregnancy, blob of tissue, and don't you have compassion for the mother? Yeah, enough compassion to try to protect her from the emotional and spiritual scars she'll have from having someone murder her baby. Because when you strip away all the jargon and emotional fireworks, that's what's left. The real, rational, scientific reality is that from the moment of conception, you have a human being. And just as slavery and the Holocaust have shown us, it's not a good idea to start deciding that some human beings aren't human persons. For more Young Catholic Minutes, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Striving is often a good thing. For example, we can strive to be charitable to others, to practice good self-care, and to pray daily. Striving for holiness is also a good thing when we allow God to lead us. But when we try to do it on our own, striving can cause angst instead of peace and joy. Even the flame of a strong prayer life can be dampened by too much striving. St. John Paul II said, "Ours is a time of continual movement, which often leads to restlessness, with the risk of doing for the sake of doing. We must resist the temptation by trying to be before trying to do. Dearest Jesus, help us to slow down and grow comfortable with resting instead of always doing, so that we may experience the peace and joy that only comes from you. Amen."
Welcome back to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. You're listening to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. We are so glad to be spending this hour with you this morning. Father Adam, I think we need an update on traffic and weather. What do you got?
Our traffic and weather this week is brought to you by your guardian angel. Currently 37 degrees. We're going to have a high of 60 degrees today. Bright and sunny fall day today. The few delays throughout Columbus in preparation for Sunday's Columbus Marathon. There's an accident at Trebu Road at Wilson Road, which is slowing down traffic. And again, another one at Stelzer Road at James Road.
All right. Be safe out there.
And remember to drive safely. And if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
Who is our saint today, Father Adam?
Today is the feast of the evangelist Saint Luke.
Luke.
As you know, Luke is the author of the Gospel, according to Luke, and also the Acts of the Apostles.
But not one of the apostles, as is commonly believed.
No,
right,
no.
Okay.
So Luke, we know, was a physician. He was a supporter and companion of Paul on several of Paul's missionary journeys. Clearly a writer, and we might even say sort of the father of Christian history. He clearly had a great education and knew Greek history and Greek writing. His Gospels are well written, to say the least. It's also thought that he was an artist and may have even painted some original icons, original images of Our Lady.
Do those original icons still exist?
Well, who knows? But the story says that the icon of Our Lady's Salvation of the People, which is at St. Mary Major's in Rome, might have been painted by Luke. and that the image of Our Lady of Częstochowa may have been painted by Luke.
Wow.
But, you know, this is, you know,
this
if
is
it's
all
not
tradition,
true, if
maybe.
It's not true, it should be, as they say.
As they
you know.
Say.
But,
and we think Luke might have spent a great deal of time with Mary, right?
Well, we know that in his gospel, he tells us that he interviewed people. And his gospel definitely is the most detailed, has the most details about Our Lady.
Okay.
So he definitely had to have spent some time with her. I mean, so for instance, I mean, the story of the Annunciation and the story of the Visitation, where it's just Our Lady and the angel Gabriel mm-hmm. in the story. So clearly he must have talked
she
to Our
to
Lady.
She had to tell somebody.
You know?
Yes,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So.
All right, well, speaking of Luke, our gospel today is from Luke.
Yes, so for the readings at Mass today, we take them from the special feast of Luke. And the gospel is the story of Christ sending out the 72 disciples. So, you know, the Lord had the 12 apostles that he named, and then there were these 72 that he specifically specifically separated off and sent out. And we think that you might say that these were the original priests. You know, if bishops are the successors of the apostles, then presbyters or priests are the successors of these 72. So some early historians in the church speculate that Luke may have been one of these 72 because he includes it in his gospel.
Okay, I have a question about this. So Jesus sends the 72 out and he tells them, I'm sending you out like lambs among the wolves, like sheep among the wolves. And they go. Like, why do they go? Like, he makes it as unattractive as he possibly can, but they go. So why?
Well, when you know that Jesus is the Lord of history and the Lord of your life, and he tells you to do something, then you best do it.
But do they go
how's
out?
How's that answer?
No. That's not sufficient. Because do they go out of fear of the Lord, or do they go out of love for the people that they're going to share the gospel with?
Well, I would say they go out of love for Christ, and they know that Christ is going to be with them on this journey.
Okay, so
and that he will experience, that they will experience their love wherever they go.
This is my whole spiritual struggle right here. Okay, I get up every morning early. I put on my snuggly bathrobe. I make my coffee. I go down, sit in front of my beautiful images of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. I get the lighting just right. My living room's warm. Like, I have snuggle time with Jesus.
Okay.
And I love it. And I love Jesus. But the prayer, I never, as soon as Jesus starts like pricking my heart with, okay, if you love me, then I'm like, wow, look at the time. Gotta go, Jesus. Thanks for the snuggle time. It's been awesome. But the reality is, the prayer I never pray that I prayed this morning and vowed to start praying is, Jesus, break my heart for what breaks yours. Because I know that the Lord is calling me to love people,
mm-hmm.
right? To love him by loving the people that he loves. And so when the 72 said, all right, we're in, yes, it was out of love for the Lord, but our love for the Lord necessarily extends.
Yeah. I think one of the powerful truths of this story, the 72, is even though we might think that it, you know, the 72 are sort of the precursors of priests, it really is a story about all disciples, because we are sent by Christ by the sacrament of confirmation, sent to be, you know, his witnesses into the world. And we are called to be in the world. And that's really what the 72 are. You know, the Lord tells them to go into these villages and to wish peace upon people, even if maybe these people aren't going to accept this peace.
Right.
He tells them to remain in the house, the home that they first settle in, not to be hopping around. The Lord wants us in the world, and he wants us in the lives of people who don't know him, and also who maybe reject his peace. But he nonetheless, that's where he's put us. That's where he sent us. And so we need to be there.
With love.
With love.
For him.
Yeah.
And his people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being present. I think it's being present in the world and being present to those people.
Which is the whole, I mean, it's the reason we have this show. It's the wave in our diocese right now. It's about discipleship. It's about mission. It's about evangelization. So it's easy to, you know, be snuggly with Jesus, but the hard part comes when you really are a laborer sent by the master of the harvest to go and do the hard work. So hopefully we are providing some sort of support for people who are trying to do that.
I hope so.
All right. Well, in our last few minutes here, we want to tell about some things coming up in our diocese. It's good to be Catholic in the Diocese of Columbus, Ohio.
For sure.
There is so much going on. There is no excuse for not plugging in to something. I said at the beginning of the hour, subscribe to the Catholic Times, because in the back of the Times, there's this little cool summary of everything coming up in the next month or whatever that people can
You can
plug
also
into.
Read the Catholic Times online, too, at the diocesan webpage, which is columbuscatholic.org.
That's right. Okay, so just to summarize a couple of things coming up. This Sunday is World Mission Sunday. So I believe, is it so, Father Adam, that in all of our churches we're talking about World Mission Sunday, or is that not the case?
Well, the theme of this whole month is world missions.
Right.
And this Sunday is specifically reserved. Whether or not your pastor will preach on that theme or not, or your priest will,
okay,
or deacon
so
will preach
on that
theme.
It's not a requirement.
No,
okay.
No. Now, I do think there's a collection that's taken. You know, one of those extra envelopes that are in the packs. I think there's one that goes to that.
Okay. So bring your wallets and purses to Mass on Sunday and be ready for that second collection. The bishop will be at St. James the Less Parish this Sunday at 12:30 for a Mission Sunday Mass.
Mm-hmm.
St. James the Less, 1652 Oakland Park Avenue. This is sponsored by the Diocesan Missions, Ethnic Ministries, and Divine Worship Offices. And anyone is invited. Everyone's invited and encouraged. And after Mass, there's an international festival of food and fellowship to
There used to be this little phenomenon a few years ago called these mass mobs. Do you remember those?
No.
Where they would organize, like identify one mass on one weekend at one church, and everyone should try to go to that one.
What? Why don't we do that anymore?
Well, I think this may be
coordinator of evangelization.
A new thing for our show. So let's identify this 12:30 Mass at St. James the Less.
Mob Mass.
On this Sunday as the Mob Mass, everyone is just going to pack that church.
Think of the power we have. Every Friday, we can declare the Mob Mass for the coming weekend.
This is a new segment. This is...
I guess there's
So let it be written, so let it be done,
all right,
you know.
I'm on board. So the International Food Festival after the Mob Mass this weekend. I assume there's maybe it's a goodwill offering, I don't know, but it's a fundraiser for St. James the Less Food Pantry. So there you go, Mob Mass this Sunday. There's also coming up a Building a Culture of Life conference.
That's this Saturday, tomorrow.
It is tomorrow. It's the Central Ohio Bioethics Conference, because remember, October is Respect Life Month as well. October is everything month. So this is organized by the Greater Columbus Right to Life, the Diocese of Columbus, and the Offices for Social Concern.
And that's at St. John Neumann Church in Sunbury.
It is, but it's
8 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Yep. But it also covers all the life topics, right? So conception to natural death, not only the abortion issue. Also, they'll be talking about legislation legislation update on social concerns, addressing racism, addressing end of life issues. So this is a. I'm sure you can still register. They may be mad at me for saying that because I don't know. Maybe there's a food count or something.
And then on Thursday, St. Paul's Outreach has their annual benefit banquet at Ohio State University.
What is St. Paul's Outreach?
St. Paul's Outreach is this wonderful apostolate to university students. They have centers or groups at OSU and at Ohio Dominican. So they lead Bible studies and, you know, kind of really are really a good reach out, you know, to those Catholic students.
There's a lot of good Catholic activity on our campuses, isn't there? Jason Everett,
for sure.
he's a well-known chastity speaker. He's coming to Ohio State. I couldn't believe when I read that. On October 28th. So we can talk more about that next week. But again, you can find information about all of these things and more on the diocesan website, in the Catholic Times. So just do some Googling, figure out where you're going to be this week.
Great.
Father Adam, will you close us in prayer, please?
I will, most certainly. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this time together. We dedicate and consecrate the rest of our days to you through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary as we pray. We fly to thy patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our petitions in our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
For my co-host, Katie, this is Father Adam saying, until the next time, peace and all good.